episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Episode number something or other on the, I can't even tell you the name of the date. Can you believe that? It's January, I'd say the 7th of January, 2026. And before I start, I have to bring in our new co-host of the show, Ken, who's an unemployed continuity man from the Rick and Rollo show. Is coming in to do the Welcome to Country on every episode of Be Told. And I have to be quiet now. Wherever Ken is.
Yes, it's Ken here. It's the welcome to the it would be told episode number something or other. We acknowledge the land owners, the people that own the land, who've always been here and always will be. The Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland. We acknowledge that we apologise most sincerely for being here, and we won't take up too much of your time. And we apologise though we're not some of us are white, or may identify as white. We apologise for that, and everything we apologise for. We're not worthy of ever existing. Thank you. So that's my welcome to country. I'll be gone.
Thank you, Ken. Not so good, but not bad. Fairly accurate. Is the new welcome to country. We're going to be doing this. This is 2026. This is the new Rick Be Told Show 2.0. And coming up, it won't be maybe on this episode, but whenever the incredible talents of Mehdi out there, who's helping me. As he did the original show tune for Be Told, the original show music for Rick and Rollo show. Absolute, incredibly put together. I send him suggestions and he puts it together. He's the jigsaw puzzle master. I just say, I think that piece fits in this piece and he puts it together. Fucking fantastic. And so there'll be a new theme tune.
Writes a theme tune, sings a theme tune
of the Rick and Be Told show. I keep saying Rick and Rollo. Keep saying Rick and Rollo. Beautifully, I'm going to say this. What I want to talk about is this Christmas business and I mean how fast it goes. Like, there's this huge lead build up to it. And now I can see why people are sticking their Christmas trees up in October. And they did around here in some places, particularly the business next door. It's because you need to get as much of that kind of peaceful Christmas vibe as possible because it just disappears that like a rat out of a drain pipe. Within, it seems to be seconds after December the 26th or 27th. And then you have New Year's Eve, which, you know, and unless you're old and wise like me, you just stay away from that type of behaviour. And you get, you know, go to a party, get hungover, or you ate too much for Christmas dinner, et cetera, and it's all gone. But that, there is a certain feeling about Christmas, which I have talked about in the last couple of shows. There is a, and that is the equinox, obviously, or the summer solstice. In our case, it's the summer solstice. In the case of the people on the upside, no, we are the upside down, just like in Stranger Things, on the globe. We actually walk around luckily we've got some kind of magnetic device that keeps our feet to the ground, because on the planet globe, we're actually on an angle kind of jetting out into space. It's a miracle we don't just disappear. Maybe that's where the people that disappear go to. They suddenly, the magnets don't work on their feet. Is there a there? I'm suggesting there is. So yes, I thought I'd come on because I've just been, had the most beautiful day at the beach. I mean, when I say I live in paradise, I'm not kidding. It, apart from the deadly animals and insects and reptiles, it's a beautiful place to live. If you just ignore them, and which I do, even though my cat bought on one of the deadliest snakes on the planet, baby, that can still allegedly, would have killed the cat straight out and make me extremely ill. Playing with this brown snake in my hallway again, I think it's the same one that's obviously living under the house, and the cat every now and then brings it in for a play toy. The only reason that cat is still breathing is because its fangs can't get through its fur at the moment. She's got really thick fur. Didn't stop the paralysis tick biting her and nearly killing her. But this little brown snake, and I'm going to say this, they are the cutest little things ever. It's like, how long was it? It's like a, you know, 8 or 9 inch type skinny black or brown skinned little thing that's waving its head around and, you know, rearing right up, which is what brown snakes do before they kill you. And it's mainly dogs they kill. As far as humans, you don't hear a lot of humans getting killed by them, but I'll tell you what, you don't want one of them down your underpants, just like a funnel web. And I've got them as well. We'll talk about some of the fauna in this area. So under most, when I sit outside, I don't bother looking for them because I know they're there, is the redback. And when you see them, they're the black widow with a red stripe down the back of them. These little spiders, well, not that little, but what they can do if you accidentally get bitten by one is make you incredibly ill. So that's there. But do I worry about them? No. Do I look at under every chair or go around spraying? Now, I'll be going into about this as well. This is an interesting conversation to have. How many people have got cancer or ill or sick from toxins that well-meaning owners of houses have had sprayed all about them to kill said little animal and insects? I'm going to hazard a guess and say a huge amount. And I know this to be a fact because I've got a client, an English guy, and that's typical of the English around here. They know about these, you know, funnel webs, blah, 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 you know, every white-tailed spiders, paralysis ticks, fleas, whatever. So they have their entire property sprayed by a combat pest control. That's the name of them, plugging that business. They come around and they spray every inch of their houses on the inside, and often, in this case, on the outside, even the gardens this guy's having sprayed. Now, to me, that is just the most stupid possible thing you can do. Because the poor cleaner and the poor gardener, who's unaware of this, that's there out there working away, is absorbing these toxins into their body. Now, if they kill an insect straight away, and I'm talking about big ones, they're probably not doing your liver any good. I'll just hazard a guess. And so we've got that going on. And I go to, like, I'm not wearing any shoes at the moment and roaming around my own house, but I haven't sprayed any poison because I haven't had fleas for ages. But a couple of years ago when I did get quite sick, I'll have to say this, I had been spraying flea killer, it said natural pyrethrins, but who's to know? Anyway, I would have been absorbing that in my feet as I roamed around the house, and it probably built up, and that probably caused me to get incredibly sick for about 5 weeks, about 3 years ago. This year, there's no issues with fleas, and I haven't been having to do that. But what do we know about the toxins? Now, right here, I've got in front of me the Slow Death by Rubber Duck book by coincidence. So I was talking to my son about this today. Interestingly, though, he's got the biggest wanker on Australia, Professor Tim Flannery, has actually put his name on the top of this book. And Oprah Winfrey backs it up. But I've suggested that this book has actually got real good information about toxins that you didn't know about, mainly for the middle-class scientific elite or business, you know, the semi-elites that they need to keep on the planet for now. And Rick Smith, Bruce Lurie, Slow Death by Rubber Duck. Highly recommend this book because what it's doing is it's telling you why so many times you've got sick. It was just, and I think I broached this last episode, it's the new car smell. It's the carpets you've had installed, the latest furniture you bought, you'll find may have been already coated with a extremely toxic chemical, which stops stains going into the thing. And you're absorbing this with your skin and you're lying there and your kids are running around and jumping all over them. We're being poisoned by well-meaning modernity, although they knew this was a thing and they've done this deliberately. I'll guarantee you now. But the pest control one is 100% true. They come around and they spray houses. And unless you're aware of the owner's what he's done, you wouldn't know. And so people like me who go roaming around people's houses, which I do as a, you know, my job, and cleaning windows particularly, because they always spray the windows because cobwebs are always in the windows. They're absolutely paranoid about spiders, the English. Now, I've had, again, the most, I would say the deadliest, one of the most deadly, the Eastern Brown in my hallway, big enough to make me, hospitalise me, certainly big enough to kill the cat outright or kill a large dog. And I'm talking about a small baby one. The bigger ones, obviously, way more dangerous. And we did, I think, discuss this. Also, there were people questioning the dangers of Sydney or Australia. Are they overhyped? Yeah and no. I mean, yes, there are sharks in the water. And yes, a lot of people are getting bitten by them. But it's very rare, unless you actually go dressing up as a seal and balancing on a turtle, like the surfers and the boogie board guys, whatever they call those things, they're often getting bitten. If you don't do that, you're never going to see. I have never seen a shark as far as I'm aware. Never. I have seen funnel webs running past me in my backyard, and they are apparently the most deadly spider in the world. And when you see one, these things are the most dangerous looking thing you've ever seen. That they've got these, they'll rear up on their back legs if you go near them, which I prefer not to. And they'll produce their fangs, and those fangs will punch you through leather gloves and probably gum boots if they had a good go. A bigger one would. Well, maybe not gum boots, but they definitely, what they do is they nest in your socks, in your shoes. They come into your house, they go into swimming pools, they get trapped in swimming pools, they form a little air bubble that they can survive and even underwater for a while. Check it out, it's a fact. And often there are people bitten by it. But it's not the, you know, look, if I was worried about this thing, I would not live in this country at all. It's totally overhyped for sure, but they're there. And you just have to be wary of it. Just like your local government and the United Nations, et cetera, need to be wary of them. There's nothing you can do about avoiding them, as far as I'm aware. Anyway, so the most beautiful swim too today, my son and I, youngest one, went for the most, I kid you not, where I live at the Mid-North Coast is better than, the temperature's beautiful, a bit hot today, but not if you go to the beach. People that are living in these cold, cold countries, particularly England, why would you do it to yourself? Why would you do it to yourself? And that's why there's so many English over here and South Africans and Indians at a different level and Chinese at a quite different level. But just the beautiful climate we have here. I've been spoiled. I grew up in New Zealand in a beautiful area. It looks exactly like where I live now. And I've always been able to go to the beach and swim and have almost a tan all year round. So I was born in a really lucky spot, no doubt whatsoever. But what I did watch, now this is what I'm going to talk about on the show, the fantastic ability on YouTube for now, I'll say that again, for now, to watch just BBC or just local news show, old like Panorama and things like that, just documentaries on life in the 50s, 40s, 50s and 60s since I've had film of particularly England is the one that concerns me for the most and how we think, you know, it was a great country. And like those people in England have just been used and spat out over the last, we know of 200 years. forced into manufacturing jobs, earning hardly any money, so they could build up to do the work of the Royal Institute of International Affairs and start wars in other countries and bring into this global order that they've always wanted, and to finance a country that was the hugest country in the world, China, one of the biggest, from roaming around in the mud, because after their economy was destroyed by the Dutch East India and British East India companies through the Opium Wars, into the biggest, finest, shiniest military out there next to the Americans and the Russians. But that BRICS is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. So that's coming. That is coming. But you know how they got that way? It's because Britain had all these poor people working in factories, working in menial jobs, living on a pittance, not owning their own properties a lot of the time. And I was watching a documentary about going to the seaside in 1954 or whatever, and it was a seaside town in England that got swamped for about whatever. How much sun do they get a year? Is it about a week? Two weeks of summer a year. Thousands and thousands of these poor itinerant workers that had enough money to save up to have 2 weeks or 3 days or whatever it was, a holiday at Blackpool or all these other depressing looking beaches. And they're all walking around, you know, with they're sitting on the beach and clothes on with a little funny hat that they make out of handkerchiefs, eating an ice cream and paddling in the water. And I've been living this life, just going to the beach and hardly wearing shoes where I live, and going there and doing that, you know, 60 or 70% of the year, if not more. Our life, and we didn't have this social system that the British had. You know, we're not up there with those people. You know, the people across the road, they're middle class, and there's upper middle class and upper middle class. And, this class system didn't exist for me. And it just staggers me to see what actually Britain's history is, and it is of brutality. You know, going back through to where all those beautiful little fiefdoms and kingdoms that were obviously there, if you watch old documentaries, new documentaries that Baldrick host, Tony, what's his name, from those history shows, and they're flying around. You can see the drone footage or whatever. Maybe they used choppers 20 years ago, not sure. But you can see there was loads and loads of communities all through England that were obviously removed and all forced into the cities, is what's coming here in 2030. The same old thing's going to happen. So you can hear the ice. You can hear that ice in that beer. Fantastic. This is coming. And what our history was that, oh, no, Britain was a fabulous place and it was all the you're listening to It All.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Be Told, episode number, I can't even tell you that. I will bring it up earlier, but who cares? You can listen to any of these shows backwards. I listened to a couple of the one I did a couple of episodes ago, and I think it was about the Bondi issue, and I didn't think that was too good. I didn't really, I was just chatting away. And they're all inconsistent, but there are some pretty good ones out there, and I was listening to. Sometimes I have to listen back to find out what songs I've played, because I often want to play a song. Have I already played that before? Because I'm telling you, and my son was bringing this up the other day, my memory, although it's better than some people's, it's definitely not long term's great, short term's okay, but it might be something last week or the week before. I just don't seem to have, I have to sit there and really dwell on it. Like my son said, Dad, I'm really concerned, you know, you remember the show we watched the other night and whatever, and I said, no, I don't remember any of that. And tell me what happened, and I thought, I can remember bits of it. Maybe I was drinking, but often I wasn't. It obviously didn't stand out for me to remember. But maybe I need to address that. Maybe I need to address that, I'm not sure. And anyone that can do in 1 hour or 2 hour, particularly I can, talking off the top of their head, usually hasn't got a great problem with their memory because they can. I'm talking literally on the top off the top of my head, and remembering things to talk about. So I'm not that bad yet. Yet, I'll say that again. Yet, but yeah. So back to England, and so these documentaries. So you can. I highly recommend you do it. They might seem boring. Well, they're not boring if you look at. That was what life was like in 1954 in England. And they were interviewing these BBC, just little 20-minute or 30-minute documentaries from, say, at Panorama or one of their shows, just about capturing life in Britain back in those days. Now, I think how awful it must have been, you know, and how dull to just to get to the beach for 2 days a year every two days of the year every 3 years, and that's what most of them were saying. You know, they're saving up their money and whatever, and I brought the kids. And there's one, there's an old couple walking along with their daughter who's about 16. She's wearing her school uniform and blazer on holiday. That's how dull these people were. They're sitting at the beach and the father's smoking his pipe. They're wearing their clothes. They haven't taken their shirts off or anything. And the daughter's sitting there in these deck chairs that they've rented for probably, you know, 50p or 2p or whatever it was, whatever the currency was. And sitting on the beach in their clothes, not even going in for a swim. It's just fucking bizarre. And it just worries me that that's how easily people can be controlled and to think that that's a good life. And why would you live there? I mean, if you knew that, you'd be straight on a plane to New Zealand if you could, or the 10-pound poms to Australia. And it would be paradise over here. Apart from, I'll say this again, the sharks, the snakes, the spiders, and paralysis ticks, and the box jellyfish, and what's the other one near me? It's the blue-ringed octopus, apparently, and those tiny little jellyfish, and the blue ring, the stingers that are everywhere. Not at the moment, but they come in quite often. The blue bottles, they call them over here, and the white-tail spider. And the, what else, apart from kangaroos can attack you, they do, but I've never been attacked by one, but it does happen randomly. What else can eat you? Pretty much most of the creatures over here you've got issues with. But I do not live in fear. I treat them like I want to be treated. I leave them alone. When I caught this, I actually put this snake, swept it up again, the second time, into a rubbish bin. And I only walked about 10 steps in my backyard and threw it out in the grass because I thought, there's nothing I can do. These things are around. And if I leave it alone, here's the deal. You leave me alone and don't kill my cat next time she catches you. Let's hope that happens. But you cannot stress about nature. It's there, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. And again, I've never, again, even seen a shark before, and I go to the beach quite a lot. Now, what else can we talk about? Oh, you know, we keep talking about England. And I think it was, and again, ding, 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 Alan Watt cutting through the matrix. I just got an email from Melissa, actually, yesterday. She's obviously really good. I sent this about a month ago. It was a show I'd listened to on the show I'm promoting an awful lot of germ warfare. The I think it's a Scottish type who is on about fake nukes and how nukes are fake. And this guy actually has got the qualifications, like Frank, to say that it's they've been scammed. Fantastic show. I sent it to her and she's got back to me. I also sent a suggestion for the cover because she's putting out the books, which are really, really quite good. The Cutting Through the Matrix books. Not that he did 20 something years ago, but she's putting them back out again. And, you know, she just sent me a little acknowledgement that she got an email, which was nice. Good shows over there. I think she's obviously. Oh, she would have to be getting a lot more busier though, because there's a lot of people waking up at the moment, and a lot of people looking into things like Alan Watt shows, and doing. They're finally waking up, and the if you can find links to, because a lot of the Cutting Through the Matrix shows The old ones, it's very hard to get, apparently, but you go to the archive.com. I do recommend, that's probably one platform to send some money to, if that is a real thing. Hans Otto reckons that they're actually deleting a lot of stuff off archive.com as well, the way Orwell's memory hole is happening. But anyway, this is the first show of the year that I've done on Be Told. I think it is. What am I seeing at the moment? America, Venezuela. I'm seeing two sides. I've got Brendan O'Connell videos being sent, which are always entertaining. He's very entertaining, that guy. He's kind of pro-Trump, I think. And there's, so basically there's people saying, oh no, there's Venezuelans are cheering on the streets. They're so happy that, insert name of a dictator, blah, 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 is gone. And I said to my son, I'm having big arguments with my youngest. He's at university and now he knows more than me. Even though I was going to, UFO conferences, doing science, you know, believing a lot of science. 40 years before he was born, I had 40 years of life before he was born. He apparently knows more than me now. And there's nothing I can do about it. What he does too, when I start talking, he holds his hands over his ears. Because every time he brings up anything, I'll bring up something to counter it. He was talking about a friend that he's got who's from, what's the Russian issue? The Russia and, that country. And I said, do you believe her? And I looked at it and he just said, Dad, I can't talk to you anymore. And he has to block his ears. He does not want to hear any of my views. The Ukrainian issues. And you've heard, and he's still out there, I do believe, the guy that cycled, he didn't cycle over there, but he went to Ukraine and did a fantastic report. Nothing was happening in those areas. And I've heard this from other people, sadly, that's not just him. One guy, a friend of mine, was saying that while they're at work, one of the guys there was a trained dancer before he worked in the building industry, and he was a Ukrainian. And he read in the paper that Kiev was being shelled. So he rang up and contacted his friends, and his friend was like, what? He goes, not at the moment, it's not. And he's like, living right in the city. No problem whatsoever. This is me speaking to a good friend of mine who I trust, who got this information from the guy that was a Ukrainian. So you've got to watch out. And I tried to say that to my son, but no, he knows more than me now. Somehow at 19 years of age, his brain has absorbed more than what I have absorbed over 61 years. Incredible statistics. Incredible statistics. But that's what happens with universities, singing from the same verse. And they get this eliteness put into them because of the architecture. Melbourne University is quite a nice university. Architecturally, lots of good teachers, the ones that haven't died of mysteriously. And that's another thing that's happened to a couple of his people connected with his scholarship. They've died in their 50s. And when I try to say, were they vaccinated, he gets very upset. That's why it is. I mean, I call a spade a spade. No, I call a spade a digging implement. I have to say it, just being honest, the young people do not like, he would call me a boomer. Well, I'm Generation X, and Generation X are the ones that got woken up. And again, how did Douglas Coupland know that it was going to be X, Y, and Z, and then the worse afterwards? How did he know that? He was right on the fucking money. And X's, I'm telling you, the Generation X is the nemesis of the latest lot, because the Generation X don't put up with them. They do not put up with them. And they were just as spoilt and mind fucked with back in 1964, 1965, whatever it was, in their childhoods. And there's a lot of Generation X conspiracy theorists out there. Yes, there is. And I just do not put up with their stupidness. But the boomer, Ken, I'd say it was probably a boomer or a bit earlier. 6 o'clock news. This is the definition of one. At 6 o'clock, you're in a house with a guy of that vintage over, say they're now my age up. At 6 o'clock, mate, what do? They have to watch the news at 6 o'clock. It's not just, it's like part of their regime of getting up in the morning and going to the toilet. No, and they also often run up to the newspaper shop or get a paper delivered to their house and open up mainstream media owned by about four companies on the planet these days. And they all go back to the same company, but guaranteed, that's putting out this news. And it's not the Rothschild one, it's another one. I think it's above that. Reuters, and there's one above them. All your news comes from the same group of people. All the whole fucking lot. Oh, there's a kookaburra. Cockatoo in the background. I don't know if you could hear that, but I could hear that. So, yeah, so it's just incredible the arguments I'm having with him. I'm not going to let – I just say to him, you'll never beat me in argument because I'm always right. And I look him in the eye to say that. But it's quite funny, the arguments we're having. It's incredible the difference in the 1 year he's been at university, how he just retaliates and tries to talk down to me all the time. Unfortunately for him, I've been arguing, carrying on like this for a long time with other people I didn't know that went to university that ended up brainwashed fuckwits. Can you hear that? But definitely in Australia. Yeah, no, so what we've been discussing in our arguments together, we have a lot in common, but he will try and run me down. And unfortunately for him, can you hear that? There's two kookaburras. Oh. So it's interesting dynamics. It's typical, but all my children, I think I'm mad, quietly. And that would be thanks to their mother, just the little comments, you know. Dad just likes to be right all the time, or Dad just likes to be different. That's what one of my oldest son said that the other day. He goes, oh, Dad, just when I was talking about vaccines, they will not let me talk about, but even though both of them survived because I made sure they didn't get one, they think that Dad just likes to be different. And that came from their mother, guaranteed, verbatim. That's where they got that one from. And yes, I do, but no, I am right. But I knew as soon as I saw COVID 2020, I knew this was what the guys like Alan Watt. There were so many guys saying they're going to do this. There's so many good people I used to listen to that were all warning it's coming. They're going to make you start. They're going to push a vaccine into you. Now, China's social credit system right now is bringing the digital ID. They've got their digital ID. If you are not vaccinated, you are not going to be as well treated as the other people, if not even existing. Now, this is going to happen here if we don't stop it. And good luck on stopping it. I can see it. You can smell it. You know, you can see every psychological operation that started about just after December last year. But the sovereign citizen one, I knew that was part of it. And we had the sovereign citizen one, then we had the Bondi Beach one. And the same thing's happening. They're saying that we've got to have inquiries into this and that, and we need the internet to be suppressed, you know, because it's causing hatred. And again, the Muslims are getting the most thrown at them at the moment here, even though I've never, if there was an issue between the Muslims and in Sydney, there'd be not a single synagogue standing because there's way more Muslims over here. They don't care. They don't seem to be part of this, you know. Occasionally you'll find one that they've found or been trained up by the intelligence agencies. Like what they do, this is what they do. And I got this from one of the greatest ones. What's his name? From Sausage software guy that did the best stuff on Jan Irvin's site. Jan Irvin now thinks he's the CIA operative. But he did some of his best shows I've ever listened to, particularly the one on Burning Man. There's burners.com site still out there. He was going on about the story about that FBI was getting paid large large sums of money to recruit and find imbeciles that were, you know, that what they do is a taxi driver would just say, you know, ask a few questions to, you know, someone just flying in. They'd find a guy, oh yeah, I don't like them. They'd find the dumbest guy possible, then have him groomed to, and then say, you know, how about, and they'll pick a low IQ imbecile, and there's plenty of them around, be told, in every different culture. And then say, how about we get this, a rocket launcher and go and blow them up and go, yeah, that's a good idea. And he'll say that, boom, he's been contrived. Next thing you know, he's in a flat somewhere and someone's stuck a rocket launcher. They've got him recorded. He's done. And they can say that they've caught a cell. They call, you know, they call them cells. And that would justify the budget for the FBI and the CIA, et cetera, or over here, SIS or ASIO or, you know, one of the other, there's a couple of other ones. Very easily manipulated and feeds them with a narrative and it creates, and then the media hype it up. This is going on, obviously. But if there was actually enough this hatred between Muslims and Jews, Australia would have been at war years ago because there's so many over here, but mainly Muslims. Compared to the very small population, even though it's large compared to other places, of the Jews, there would have been issues left, right, and centre, but there never has really been. It's usually just been psychological operations, et cetera, which has been going on France, England, you know, those stabbings and beheadings, allegedly. Again, all groomed ex, MI5 had groomed some radical imbecile who didn't know to say no. Next thing you know, he's alleged stabbed children at insert name of psychological operation. It's the intelligence agencies doing all this stuff. They're the ones providing shaved head idiots in black dressed as Nazis in Sydney and Melbourne recently. You can tell that those guys have just come from different countries and they're all been, I've mentioned this last episode, I think, they've just been brought over here. They're on holiday from the course they're doing for insert name of a military somewhere. They dress up, shave their head, go roaming around the streets, you know, marching. And that says that there's Nazis in your street. And Anthony Albanese can say,
I don't like Australia becoming a Nazi place. You.
And they were just trained operatives that just turned up for one day and they got probably taken off and flown into different countries immediately afterwards. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. And this is how it's been done for a long, long time. England, America had the same thing with some of the black, what's it called? Not Black Lives Matter, but yeah, they are the same. Before that though, Black Power, and that whole fist, thing, they were all, again, you could tie in with that, those guys just mysteriously with British MI5. You're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Be Told episode. Do a lottery thing. I'll try and guess what episode is from the last one. This is my son will be going, Dad, I'm really worried about you now. You can't remember. And it's because I've done so many other fucking shows. I cannot remember the number of this one. Let's just say it would be 49. Would that be right? 47 or 48 or 49. And here we go. I'll say 49. How's that? And I'll have a look now to back up. See if I was right. It was episode 45. Can you believe it? I was three out. Maybe I do need to go and see somebody. Be Told, episode number 45. It's number nine. On December the 7th, January the 7th, 2026. At least I got the year right. I've done shows where I got the year wrong more often than not. Have I got a problem? He says, asking the question. Look, I'll say this. I have pushed so much information into my brain over the last 61 years, probably since 5 years of age. when I started reading and watching TV shows and then getting into books. And I mean, you know, your brain surely can't absorb that much information without things leaking out the side of it. And that's obviously what happens with me. Obviously, all that happens to me. Now, making sure I'm being recorded. Yes, I am. And what's going to happen? What am I seeing? So there's so many people on Facebook awake that I can see. Like I could say that today was very interesting. The mainstream media, there's shaking my head, Sydney Morning Herald, put out a huge big story of these are the suburbs that are possibly going to get destroyed, like the Palisades in this time last year, roughly when it started, or whenever the Santa Ana winds come through. I think it was January, February last year. They're saying that this is going to happen in Sydney, and people is all, I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of comments underneath going, oh, I better get my blue paint out and paint my roof blue. You know that story. There was comments saying, oh, is this a warning or a threat? And there are some people putting, oh, this is United Nations 2030 agenda, clear them off the land. It's like it's off its head. There are so many people on Facebook commenting awake. They're not on crazy conspiracy sites like fakeholders.com or truthmeats.com or hoaxbusters.com. These are what I can see, just regular people that can see that the agenda is going forward, whether you like it or not. And that is you're getting off the land, whether we start this by arson or we have laser weapons. Now, this laser weapon thing I don't know about, but it was that Lahaina allegedly is the base of the US laser weapon regiment. What do they call them? It's directed energy weapon or dues or whatever. That Lahaina, I do believe, does have some kind of base there. Did they need to do that? No. They just used poor land management and allowed lands that were usually growing loads of other things. They put down different crops that all burned really fast. Were thousands of children disappeared? No. They told you that, though. So you've got, and I do agree, this is a few times I do agree, not a few times, with IPS show, because he does do some good stuff, apart from his obsession with going on about chemtrails. He's obsessed with them for all the wrong reasons. That they're creating a division in the truth movement of not just one red and black, or red and blue, but all the colours of the rainbow, the alien guys, the hidden history guys, the everything is fake guys, the QAnon guys, the etc. etc. They've made sure that the truth people awake have been scattered into the winds, and there's none of them are cohesive. And I've gone about this, but I knew that happened when COVID happened, and I went to those stand in the park things where you had 30 people turn up and then divide them between six groups of five, and five of them would be into directed energy weapons, aliens and QAnon and blah, blah, blah. So there was not a cohesive group, even though they all had the common thing, we don't really want to be vaccinated. But this has been, again, I'll keep repeating myself like Alan Watt does. Ding, 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 ding. You like bring up Royal Institute of International Affairs all the time and CFR, which is 100% correct. And I do say this, the house of all the trouble is the City of London. They are the ones that are responsible for the organisation of all these groups, guaranteed. It started in the 60s. They hit the Generation X's with UFOs and vortexes. I've talked about this before. I've got all the comics. I was reading them, the Disney comics, constantly having, and Doctor Who comics that I had that were in Countdown magazine, vortexes and time dimensional, this and that, UFOs, Sasquatches, Yetis, da-da-da-da-da. Everyone was meant to be into this stuff. The X-Files was the piece de resistance in 1992. to get the next lot and push them all into these different things. I want to believe. And this is what happened when we finally got into the, when they really did something nefarious. So many people all had their own versions, you know, that they all went into different rabbit holes. There was no cohesiveness apart from that common denominator is this vaccine and the tyranny that happened to us in March 2020 really got bad, I would say, 2021. I think that was the was its worst. Canada and parts of in California, 2022 up to 2024. Canada was one of the last to, you know, be released from the tyranny. And did they get tyrannized? Yes, they did. Same with Melbourne in Australia. Again, Melbourne would be the most Canadian-like region of Australia. Maybe Adelaide second. But Melbourneites are very left, very forgiving, very nice, easygoing people. So like all of Canada, apart from, is it Quebec, where they're a bit more French. And that's where they targeted these areas. And they really gave it to the Melbourneites of the magnitude. Again, I was living in paradise up here, getting paid money not to go to work, going to the beach and cafes and not wearing masks. But they did try. And you cannot forget this. You've got to keep refreshing your memory, hitting refresh. I remember 2023, say, or 2022, where you walked into a grocery store and there were old ladies and old people staring at you through their masks. And what are you doing without one? And the hatred and the fear that was going through the eyes. I did one of the most amazing things I did. It was exactly 5 years ago, June. So that would be 2021, was get on a plane from the Winnie, Sydney, to fly to Port Macquarie. And there was one other person out of, say, 1,000 people roaming around the airport without a mask. I had no mask on. And what I do is I meet stares with stares. Like if someone stares at me, and most people look away, unless you're in New Zealand, you're in all sorts of trouble. You'll be in a brawl. But I went to the airport. I got onto the plane. The stewardess came up and said, you've got to put a mask on. And I said, no, I'm allergic to carbon monoxide. And she went, okay. And she backed off, scuttled away. I looked around. There were people like looking at me, you know, but did I care? No. And I got off the plane again without a mask and I felt liberated that, you know, you just have to deal with the public and not give a fuck about what they think. Most people can't do this though. Most people worry about what other people think. And I do, but when it comes to tyranny of that level, I'll fight back and just give them that attitude. Rollo would be the biggest activist I know. Like, he just will not put up with it. I mean, that was fantastic. And you can go back on the Rick and Rollo shows, were all usually fakeologists, I would say, back in those days. And I think Susie has collated some, thanks to Susie, where she is somewhere not that far away from Ab, but in America, I do believe, across the pond, some kind of lake. But she's done some fabulous work by collating some of their great shows on fakeologist.com. And put them out there and Abs put them on, hopefully onto FakoTube. It's a plug for FakoTube. Do yourselves a favour. Send some money to FakoTube, send some money to Truth Meets. Do yourselves a favour. Yeah, it's particularly FakoTube for what it's doing. It's keeping so much good information on a platform that's private and can't be taken down. Yet, he says, yet. I'm just going to mute a bit and I'll be back. You'll be at home. And I'm back, thanks to the Velo Box 2.0. So coming up, maybe I could get Joel to wait to the, we've been working night and day furiously, that's a joke, but Medi in America, who did the incredible Rick and Riley theme tune and the Be Told one that I use with the Small Faces, Ogden's Knuck on Flake. and a few other sound grabs. We're doing a new one for the BTOL 2.0, which is this year. Every year should have a new theme tune.
Writes the theme tune. It sings the theme tune.
Speaking of him, he got cancelled, apparently. David Walliams, the really shifty to me, though. I always thought that guy looked shifty, but very funny. The co-presenter or co-comedian from Little Britain. Apparently groping women, etc. No surprise. What is it about people in power or whatever? And someone actually, I listened to another show the other day. I've been kind of an apologist for Rolf Harris. I always said he wasn't a pedophile. He was a dirty old man, you know, which is still not good. But apparently he was a bit nasty, you know, and it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me because most co-hosts of TV shows that you think is your, you know, wonderful family type guy, absolute tyrants behind the scenes. No better example than that is Don Burke and Daryl Sommers, of two of Australia's biggest TV stars. Apparently utter Carmichael Hunts in real life. And, you know, this came out and it's been acknowledged and et cetera, et cetera. And Harris was, again, from that same era of, you know, not era, before then, but definitely, you know, apparently just incredibly rude to the general public and a bit dirty, like groping, you know, makeup artists and things like that. So I shouldn't be an apologist for him, but I am saying he's not what you'd call a pedophile or a pederast. He was just a dirty old man with what's the word for it?
He just dropped his phone. He's getting old. Getting old.
Getting ripped off and paid. Good song, the AC/DC band. And I could talk a little bit about AC/DC as well, apart from Rolf Harris. Everyone that went to those concerts loved it. Would I have? I don't know. Honestly, they just look like they just. Flogging a dead horse. But evidently, they were fantastic. And I guess if you'd pay $200 or $300 or $400, way up to, you know, $1,500 to have good seats. Would you have enjoyed it? I bet you would have. And they probably did put on a good show, but to me, AC/DC, after Bon Scott went, were never the same. I couldn't stand Brian Johnson's herniating, excruciating screams. I would have much rather them had Angry Anderson come in and sing for them, or almost anyone other than Brian Johnson. But no, they carried on and they made millions, probably $1 billion or more, billions of dollars. Yeah, probably billions of dollars. To me, my memories of, you know, rock and roll was meant to be for young, rebellious people, you know, and not old, and I'm one of those people. Yet I still love listening to that kind of music, but I like to listen to proper rebels and proper, they actually live the life, not pretend ones like Rage Against the Machine. Fantastic sounding music, but totally hollow, vax pushing fuckwits, gutless, fucking weak kneed, pathetic. What other words can I say about them? Same with Red Hot Chili Peppers, etc., etc. What did you during the COVID wars, Mummy? You know, I'd like to ask them that. Daddy, what did you do during the COVID wars? I said nothing. That's what they'd say. I said nothing and I just buttoned my lips so my record contract was validated. And that's what they did, guaranteed. Notice that a whole lot of people that would have said something all died earlier, Lemmy, David Bowie, or did David Bowie just fake his death? It's highly likely. But how can you live with yourself in this day and age and be lying to people? And that's why I think, like, James Dellingpole's doing a great show. And he's like, he's more out there than some of the fakeologists of the Hoaxbusters crew now. I mean, he's pushing everything, flat earth, it's, you know, demons, this, demons, that, blah, 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 doing some really good shows now. I was thinking, because he was the guy that really nailed the climate gate, and I think he created the term climate gate with the when they found the information from the universities was all being they were being told to no, just say it's getting warmer, not colder, and lie about your statistics. He exposed that in 20 years ago. His show's fantastic, and he does has some great guests, and he says some really good things. And I was thinking, is he controlled opposition, or is he a human with a brain that realises and can see what's coming down the fucking pipe or pike or whatever you call it? That we're going into global digital tyranny. And do you want to be, if you believe in the Bible, Christian, which he is, cast away, or as what Dave says, you'll just disappear. And I like that one. You're not going to go to hell. You're just going to dissipate. That's what I say is going to happen to the useless eaters and the, what do you call them, non-playing characters of today that are just roaming around. They have got no soul inside them. They're not alive. They're dead inside. They're not helping you. Or people are just betraying the public and not saying stuff when something needs to be said. And I'm just talking about mask wearing, for instance, and the battles that I went through and the amount of times I went up and said to people, take that fucking mask off because you can't breathe. I didn't say that to the old people, but I would say to them, you're losing 20 to 30% of valuable oxygen into your lungs and your nose in a Chinese-made mask made in Wuhan. Be Told, episode number 45.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate.
Schwab from Sheffield Economic Forum, and I'm here to say, because I'm unemployed, that's UNEMPLOIT, and said I need you to send some money, some donuts. You need to send a donut. What is this thing? Donut. You need to press the donut button and send some money to Cholo and the Truth Meets, TRUCEMEATS.com. And this is Klaus Schwab telling us to do this because I'm unemployed and I need a job. A job, CHOB. It's the future. Be told. Bye bye.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum, formerly of the World Economic Forum, ask for a donut. Send your donuts to truthmeets.com. It's very easy to do. I just sent my amount off. You just go click the button and it says Stripe or, card or whatever. And it's $1, $2, Rollo, are you listening? $600, Rollo, $600 minimum to truthmeets.com. So you've got your own platform and you come on and do a show because there's not many people doing shows on here at the moment. But I always be doing a show, Bob. I want my money's first. My money's first. but Klaus Schwab, he knows, click the donut link and you'll get your money. You're helping Joel, who's busily keeping people on the trains and working his guts out up in the Blue Mountains, wherever he is, up and down the train link. Fantastic. Fantastic. I was just saying, Joel has got the talent of the internet and podcasting and broadcasting. He's trained. He's worked with the best, including Kyle and Jackie O, who I support them being, they tried to cancel them. They're fighting back and they're putting up a good fight back, which is fantastic, even though I couldn't stand to listen to their shows. But good to see that people fighting back. But Joel worked for them. He's worked for some of the best and some of the Triple J people, et cetera, et cetera. To have him is a blessing. I say that, Joel. You are an absolute talent, be told. Now, I'm going to go soon, but it's been a pleasure to come back on here for the very first episode this year. I do believe, I think it is. And hopefully Maddie's going to knock this new theme tune out, which I've combined the intro to Century 21, the blatantly obvious 9/11 prediction of the, when you hear this high-pitched whistling sound and a spear goes into the side of the number one of the 21, which happened on the very beginning of the decade last year, 25 years ago, on September the 11th. You're going to see the same side of the building with that plane that went into it on that logo that came out in 1968. Can you believe it? Anyway, that's going to introduce the beginning of the, you hear that sound and then we're going to go into some electronic musical found and a whole lot of samples that will fit into the genre of the Be Told Show, Python, Daleks, et cetera, et cetera. Great stuff, though. He's done a really good job. Mehdi, you are a talent, I'll be told. What song are we going to go out with on episode number 45? Let me think. Wasting time. No, can't do that. Song. Anyway, I'll think of something and we'll end with that on the episode number 45 of Be Told in the 7th of January 2026. Thank you very much for listening, and there'll be plenty more of these coming out in the future, including the Rick and Rollo shows, and I think a Bongversation 53, possibly on Sunday. Good stuff. And you can go on to fakeologist.com, audio chats, and hear me fucking talking over the top of everybody for at least an hour and a half or 2 hours with Cold Card Ken on Sunday night. I just talk too much. Ricky talks too much, as I was told when I was a 6 or 7 year old in my school reports. Good on me for doing that. I'll say that again. Good on me for doing that. All right, thank you very much. Whatever song appears will appear, and it'll kind of fit in with the show, will it? Will it? Yeah. And I'm going to say this. I'll do it. I'll do this all the time. The song's going to start on a 1, 2, 3. Wait for it. Now, thanks, Joel. I'll be back soon. Bye.
She said, it's a time of judgment. I'm a rolling holy down a dirty river. In a dream, I heard Gabriel's trumpet. Lord, and I was blistered, just a strung out angel. I saw the feet of pilgrims bleeding, I saw whole cities drowning, I saw whole armies dying. A reverie of starlings on my shoulder, on the shoulder of a highway, judgment time is near. Watch those stars above, they're falling. And when the sky is falling, it falls like heaven's rain. She said, it's a time of judgment. I'm a rolling holy down a dirty river. Oh, judgment time.